Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Second down and two. Woodhead up the middle. First down. He's inside the 25, inside the 20, turning outside. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Danny Woodhead. Boy, did he scoot. Exploded through the hole and then just cut it to the outside and outran the defense.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves. Especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, in the words of Trading Places and Eddie Murphy, what a happy day. What a happy day it is today. And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show. Today featuring the legendary Brian Lowe with the Lowdown Fantasy thing that he does. And we're going to do it together today.
Yeah, not quite legendary, Pete. I don't know where you got your information from.
I tell you what, there's you know, right under the Lou Holtz sign when I come in, there's a quote from you right there.
So oh, sure.
It's great. So
someday.
I'm like, I touch it when I come in to sign, just like the Notre Dame kids do when they, you know, play like a champion today. That's what I do when I come in. I touch your quotes and Lou Holtz, and then I come in here and I get all, you know, go crazy, going nuts. But welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here from 4 to 6 p.m. here on Patriots.com. Glad you could join us. So much to talk about. We're doing it live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And how you reach us is the first hour. Here's what we're going to do. The first hour, Brian and myself, and mostly Brian, will be talking about fantasy football from 4 to 5. And then we'll do some later on. I'll do more breaking down of the Patriots and the Miami game. We'll get into the Packers and the Saints a little bit deeper. And then I'll give you all my picks, all my useless picks at the end of the show. And I have some special things planned this year. And also, you know, the division winners, Super Bowl, who I think is going to win, and all that stuff at the end. But we're going to have a lot of fun today. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And before we start, Brian, I do have to, well, he's out of the room. We'll wait till he gets back in the room, but.
We're
going to rip on him because
one of my favorite pastimes.
He was in tears as I walked in the studio today. And do you know why?
I don't know why.
Well, take a guess. It fits in with the theme of the show.
Guess who was? Oh, I think I know.
So
I
we have to have a moment of silence for Kevin and anybody else who drafted Peyton Manning as their number one quarterback.
Well, the problem is with Kevin, if I'm not mistaken, he actually took Peyton in the first round this year, which, listen, even if Peyton Manning was fully healthy, he's a top quarterback, but I don't know if he's first-round caliber.
It was a keeper league. I already had Ray Rice in my pocket.
Well, I don't know. But now,
cervical surgery, apparently, report he went on it today, possibly out 2 to 3 months.
It's the year of Chad Henne, B-Lo.
Well, I don't know about that.
Now, imagine, now, that's who we stuck with. Kevin is stuck with Chad Henne. However, it's interesting that it is that, because I do think with a team like the Patriots that gives up only – this is why I always differentiate between fantasy football and regular, because the Patriots gave up all those yards last year, but still were top 8 in points allowed, which is all I really care about in the real world. But from a fantasy standpoint, you want to be going against the Patriots on defense every year because they give up tons of net yards because they're in so many blowouts.
A lot of yards given up. We can go back these last couple of years, some of the games that they've played against. You know, even guys like Matt Flynn of the Packers and A.J. Feely a couple years ago with Philly, I mean, they do give up a lot of yards. They tend to be bend but don't break sometimes. But, yeah, they give up a lot of yards. A quarterback going against the Patriots defense in recent years has been a fairly decent fantasy start.
Let me ask you a fantasy football question because I hear it a lot. Are most leagues tending to be more yardage happy or touchdown savvy, or is a combination of both, or do you find there's a trend going one way or the other in fantasy football?
I would say combination of both, but I would say if anything, it leans toward touchdowns. You know, you get a lot of leagues where a touchdown of any kind, running back, receiver, quarterback throwing it, is 6 points. So if you have a player on your team that isn't the lead running back, but is the guy that a team goes to on the goal line, and he might be a player that gets 8 carries for 15 yards, but scores 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And that might be 12 points or 13 points, and the lead running back might get 100 yards, but no scores, and might get 10 points. So I would say you get more leagues that probably have more of an emphasis on a touchdown. And let's be honest, I mean, that actually is a good way to give a similarity between actual football and fantasy football. The touchdown is everything, but not to diminish yards. I mean, yards are very important as well, but I would say it lean more toward touchdown.
But so that's what I mean. So that's why a guy to me like could be interesting is a guy like Ben Jarvis Greenell, who does mm-hmm. score a lot of touchdowns on, yeah. and he's there a lot on the goal line. Doesn't necessarily have a lot of 100-yard games, but I mean he can get you some points.
Yeah, well, and last year, you know, he hit 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he hit 1,000 yards,
but it wasn't like he was an epic.
But not that difficult over 60-game season. It's only not, averaging 67 yards a game. People don't realize that.
And that's really what he was. I mean, he got 1,000 yards. He hit that point in the last game, a meaningless game where clearly the team wanted to just give him the ball a couple times. So that was a 1,000-yard season, legitimate, but not...
You get bonus points for that in fantasy football?
I don't know if there's too many leagues that you get bonus points. I mean, maybe more where there's some leagues where you get bonus points for a 100-yard game or 100-yard receiving game. But then Green Ellis had, what was it? He had double-digit touchdowns. I can't remember exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. He's a legit fantasy performer. And I think the Patriots like to have several running backs that they can rely on, short of having a guy like Corey Dillon in his prime. The Patriots like to have three or four guys that they can rely on. I think this year, Green Ellis is going to be the closest they have to a workhorse. He's not going to be a 25-carry-a-game guy, but he'll be 15 to 17. Danny Woodhead is going to be your all-everything guy. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to have a handful of games where he gets 100 yards all-purpose. He'll be a valuable guy. I think Stephen Ridley is an interesting guy because I see there being some games where the Patriots might have a good lead. They're trying to work the clock, and I think he's going to be the guy that they use in the fourth quarter of games to work the clock. And I even think he gets some goal line carries. I think he's going to be a more valuable fantasy guy potentially than Vereen, but I think Green Ellis is your guy.
Well, I mean, goal line carries, I think that maybe if they're up by 3 touchdowns, Belichick gives him a shot there, but I think he's going to have to prove himself a little bit in a close-knit game for him to come in and be on the goal line.
I agree. I think he's going to have some sneaky, good fantasy games where they're going to give Green Ellis a breather here and mm-hmm. there, maybe more fourth quarter. And I also think the trick is, or the tough part is, we're not going to know which games necessarily that could be a Stephen Ridley game. So it's going to be extremely hard to rely on him. But I think when all is said and done, there's going to be some sneaky days where he has a good fantasy
just performance. Just real quick, let me just go over the injury report
absolutely.
For the game.
Absolutely.
Just came in. So these are, as far as today's full participation, Lee Bodden, Julian Edelman, the rest of and the only one who was not participating in practice today was Sebastian Vollmer. I mean, Solder is probably going to get a start on Monday night, I would think. But, you know, I mean, you never know. It seems that way. That's the way it's working out. Everybody else I'm going to read to you was limited today. Mark Anderson, Kyle Arrington, Dan Conley, Jermaine Cunningham, Dane Fletcher, Taylor Price, Stephen Ridley, Jeff Tarpanian, Shane Vereen, Ryan Wendell, and as I said, Sebastian Vollmer did not participate. We'll get into more of that in the 5 o'clock hour. But we always, again, email us, webmail at patriotradio.com. The lowdown, Brian Lowe today. He's joining me, myself. I'm Pete. I'll be here until 6. But want to start some questions here?
Absolutely.
Right,
let's get them going. We got football tonight,
right.
Pete.
I mean, I am so psyched. And plus, we've got a great game. I think it's going to be, you talk about fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
Points galore. The last time these two teams played was 2008, Bri. 80 points combined. It was 51-29 New Orleans.
Funny you bring that up because my instinct, too, is this is going to be a high-scoring game,
absolutely.
Of fantasy. But let me ask you something, Pete. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what last year's Thursday night opening game was, what the teams were, and what the score was?
Yeah, give me one second.
Because
it was Pittsburgh.
No, that was 2 years ago.
That's 2 years
ago. It was New Orleans, Minnesota.
New Orleans, Minnesota, that's right.
And my instinct, what you just said was exactly my instinct until about a half an hour ago when I checked on this.
Right.
The final score of that game was 14-9.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Minnesota.
True.
You have almost, I mean, with the exception of some running backs, you have a very similar group of offensive players for New Orleans. And Minnesota, you had Adrian Peterson, Percy Harvin,
Brett Favre. He sucked in that game.
He stunk in that game. And it was 14-9.
I like to say stunk. Stunk is too nice a word for him because
well,
I hate him.
You could go suck. I'll go stunk. But we'll smooth
semantic.
That out.
It's just semantics. Yeah.
But I'm telling you.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
Yeah,
I think I always will be a Packer.
No way.
I think it's going to be, I think it might not be as high scoring a game because I think, you know, offenses, I think, it's tougher this year for offenses to get into a groove than defenses is going to be my guess. So I don't think it's going to be 14-9, but I don't think it's going to be like 38-35. I think we're going to have like a 23-20 kind of game.
I think the total is 48. I think it flies over it. Well, we'll see.
No,
but
that could,
you
that
could be
me,
right.
But
I think it
regardless,
flies over it.
Regardless.
Yep.
Everybody who owns a fantasy football team, I would guess, has somebody in this game tonight. There's that many fantasy performers.
No question. All right. From Brian the Fox in New Mexico. Yeah, I love that. I don't want to ask why you got that name, but that's okay. Hey, guys, glad to have you back for the new season. I drafted Thomas Jones in my recent draft. He's my bench player, but he'll see significant action during the bye weeks. I'm very unhappy with the prospect, but there are very slim pickings on waivers. Should I take a chance on a deep sleeper? I'm thinking the young Broncos receiver Eric Decker or Vikings rookie tight end Kyle Rudolph. Maybe even Shane Vereen catches. If I do, I have to cut Jones. Stay Subway fresh. Go Pats.
Well, the thing with Thomas Jones is I look at Jamal Charles as really being a workhorse guy, and I think Thomas Jones this year, you know, he's been in the league in a while. I think he's going to have more value to the Chiefs locker room-wise overall than he will fantasy-wise. A lot of teams have a lead running back, but the backup is pretty valuable. I just don't see Thomas Jones being valuable unless – Jamal Charles really goes down with an injury. So carrying Thomas Jones, again, short of Charles going down with an injury, I don't think Thomas Jones is a guy that deserves a spot on a fantasy team. Some of the guys you mentioned there, depending on who your starting tight end is there, Brian, I think Kyle Rudolph is a really intriguing guy, and I'll give you another one at tight end. Lance Kendricks, St. Louis. He's a rookie for St. Louis. Josh McDaniels is going to make sure Sam Bradford uses the tight end, and Sam Bradford is not your classic deep ball guy. I think if you're looking for a backup tight end, and the fact that you mentioned Rudolph there tells me maybe you are, I would say Rudolph or Lance Kendricks are guys to look for. I think Eric Decker is interesting, and I'll give you another deep sleeper wide receiver to think about, and that's Andre Roberts, the wide receiver for Arizona, guy I've been thinking about and I have on one of my teams because they've lost Steve Preston. Obviously, they lost Anquan Boldin over the years. It's not quite Kurt Warner at quarterback anymore, but I think the second and third receivers on the Arizona Cardinals are going to be sneaky, good fantasy receivers this year. Fitzgerald will absolutely be number one. He'll have a huge year. Think about Andre Roberts and monitor him early on.
Nice. And I think it's interesting. I've just lost my train of thought about what you said about
the Rams. Yeah,
because that to me is a very intriguing game. I think Michael Vick and they're going to have their hands full in St. Louis with that game on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not sold on how the Eagles are going to. There are a lot of new faces there. I'm not sold on them early on. They'll be good, but I'm not sold early on.
Yeah, well, certainly Michael will put up some great fantasy.
Oh yeah,
no
running
question.
And pass.
Steven says I have Frank Gore. Jobin Best and Tim Hightower. I'm starting Gore, but have been flip-flopping between Best and Hightower. I keep hearing about Best potential, and he's playing against the Bucks' lackluster run defense, but he's unproven. On the other side, Hightower looks to get a lot of carries against the injury-ridden Giants, but with Rex Grossman at QB, I worry the inability to throw could hurt his effectiveness. Who would you start? I told the Rex Grossman part dead on. I hate him.
Yeah, I think
useless.
Yeah, and I think more and more, you know, good running backs that are on a team with a really, really shaky quarterback situation, you just have to bring them down a notch in your rankings. Between Best and Hightower, I go Best, certainly for this week. I think if Jahvid Best is healthy, which is a huge question mark because in college and with Detroit last year, he hasn't proven he's been able to be healthy. If he is, I like him this week. A lot of people are really high on Tim Hightower, but I think what we're going to see out of Washington is just a mishmash of different guys. They got a rookie, Roy Helu. They got Ryan Terrain. They got Hightower. Just not sold that Hightower is going to be that guy. Deserves to have a spot on a fantasy team, maybe as the third guy, but this week, in your situation there with Gore, Best, and Hightower, I go Gore and Best.
Excellent. Oh, well, again, you can join us here on, again, on the Pete Shepherd Show today, on every Thursday, by the way, the Lowdown with Brian Lowe, Fantasy Football. Email us, webradio@patriots.com, and you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And Jay from Lowell, he's up today first on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, what's up, Jay? You're up with Brian and Pete. How are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Great,
fantastic, man! It's football opening night for football. What's better than this?
Nothing much, really. I have a problem with who I'm going to start in one of my flex spots.
Fire away.
Excuse me.
Fire away.
All right. I got Jacoby Ford, Jordy Nelson, Ryan Grant, James Stocks.
Ooh. So you got three Packers there, huh? Jordy Nelson, Ryan Grant, and Starks, and then the other, Jacoby Ford was the other one. Yep. So you got one of the four you need to start?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say, well, let's just narrow it down a little bit. I think the James Starks, Ryan Grant situation is a real interesting one, and I'd honestly probably hesitate to start either one tonight because I think that's one of those where we need to see how it's going to shake out. It looks like they're leaning toward James Starks being, you know, the more effective running back. So if you were going to ask me who between those two, I'd say go Starks. But if you're including the other guys, you know, Ford and Jordy Nelson, I kind of like Nelson. I really like Nelson overall. And tonight, I actually think he's a decent play tonight against New Orleans. I think he's a guy that Aaron Rodgers is going to start looking toward. And then Jacoby Ford, I don't know. The Oakland passing game kind of worries me a little bit. I don't think I'd feel safe, at least in week one, starting any of those guys. So I would say of those four, I'm narrowing down between Nelson and Starks. And I think I'd lean toward Jordy Nelson tonight. I really would. But it's close. Right. That's a tough one.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks a lot. Again, you can join us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And another caller, my buddy, and I was telling you, Brian, my buddy Poker Mike is on the line joining us here on Patriots.com. Michael!
How you doing, Pete?
Fantastic. Now, you are as in tune. I mean, Brian is, like, unbelievable.
Oh, I mean,
he's a freaking encyclopedia. And I know you are, too, Michael, as far as Mike's a great, not only a good poker player, but a great dealer. I'm with him a lot of charity events around Massachusetts.
Thank
but
you.
He's also a huge, huge fantasy football. And he was, like, foaming at the mouth this week, ready to come on and talk to you, Brian, about
perfect.
This stuff. So Mike,
yeah, it's a sickness that we all suffer from.
And I'm with you. I mean,
well,
let me
ask you both this. How many leagues are both of you? Let me get Brian first. How many leagues are you in?
I'm in four.
Really?
I'm in four. And one of them is the one that I've been in with college buddies for now a dozen years. And then all of the other three are connected to the Patriots situation here. One with the people I work with in my department, one with a PFW in progress league, another one with people connected with work. So but I try to keep it to three. But when someone asks me, I just can't say no.
Can't say no.
I know.
How about you, Michael?
You know, three's a lot. I try to stick with two. So I have two this year. Similar to Brian, you know, college buddies, we're in our 10th year.
Yep.
And that's the big league. And then I have another league that with another group of friends. But I just, you know, having that conflict of interest every week, you know, I'm starting, you know, LeSean McCoy in one league, but I'm playing against him in the other. And I just try to stay away from it. So, I mean, sticking with two, we have an auction league. Just had our draft. It was unbelievable. And, you know, that's kind of the main one that we focus on. But so, I think two or three is a good number.
Yeah.
Well, give Brian your team, see what he thinks.
Oh, geez.
I hope you don't have Peyton Manning, do you?
No, there was just no way. There was no way. I personally was just staying away from the Colts this year. Regardless, I just don't feel good about it. It's almost like drafting Yankees in fantasy baseball.
But don't you have to separate your emotions a little bit? I mean, because let's face it, I mean, there's dollars on the line here. I mean, nobody's doing this for free. We can all cut that BS out. We know this is a huge bigger money making thing than the NCAA tournament. There's a lot of money involved here.
No, there most definitely is. But no, I think I did all right. It's an auction keeper league. So I was lucky enough to draft LeSean McCoy last year. So I actually got him at a pretty good price this year. So the guys that had to spend, you know, $50-$60 on, you know, Peterson or Chris Johnson, I got LeSean McCoy for I think like $17 or $18.
Great, that's huge. And especially, is it a point per reception league?
For the first year, we are finally doing a point per reception.
I'll tell you what, if you're in a point per reception league, you know, obviously your wide receivers, they catch passes. So you want a guy who catches passes. But the running backs, you know, there can be a big difference between a guy like McCoy who catches a lot of passes and guys who really don't. And, you know, a guy like Reggie Bush has a lot more value in a point per reception league as a running back than in a league that doesn't have.
Especially with Mr. Checkdown Chad Henne, because that's all he loves to do that. Tonight, like, Monday night would be, if you have Reggie Bush, that's a pretty good, I think that's a pretty good play.
You know, he led the NFL in receptions for running backs.
And Henne, that's all he does is check down. He's called Captain Checkdown
exactly.
In Miami. I mean,
so I think Bush, I think LeSean McCoy is going to be in that category too. He catches passes too.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, just a perfect guy to kind of build your team around. Yeah. I mean, we come into the league, we all do our research. You come into the draft, you want to be prepared.
Yep.
Auction league's a little bit different. You know, there's just different strategies, you know, to kind of go towards. I just went in with the mentality that I wasn't going to be afraid to spend. So I had my list of players that were at the top of my list, one of those guys being Ray Rice.
Yeah.
I just think, obviously, being a running back heavy, you know, league, just having those two stud running backs makes a big difference. And Ray Rice was just the top guy on my radar. Kind of went in looking to spend. We all start with $200 as far as fake money goes. I wound up spending.
Watch out for the lightning bolts.
I spent a little too much on him, but in the end it panned out. I think I spent like $70 on Ray Rice.
Let me ask you, how do you guys handle a guy like Ray Rice going up on the opening night? They have to play the Steelers on Sunday. That's tough. I mean, I think he's had some, I don't have his numbers in front of me against Pittsburgh, but obviously Pittsburgh known, pretty good run defense, and those games are usually pretty low scoring for the most part, defensive battles. Do you start a guy like Rice as good as he is?
You do. I mean, you would have to have Adrian Peterson, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Ray Rice on your team to sit Ray Rice. I know what you're saying, but and I'm probably guilty of being more conservative than I should be in a lot of instances like this, but sometimes I think to myself, Ray Rice is one of the top fantasy players in the league this year. Mm-hmm. If he ends up going up against the Steelers and having a huge game on my bench, I will want to shoot myself.
Yeah, sure.
And I tend to be more conservative and saying, you know what, I'm going to keep him in my lineup. He's one of my best players. You can't bench him against anyone this year. I mean, you know, things change year to year based on dynamics of a given offense. And Pittsburgh is one of the best defense in the league. I still think Ray Rice.
Mike, how would you handle it? Then I want to ask you both another question concerning a little conflict I have with.
Well, I'll tell you right now, and obviously looking at the schedule moving forward with Ray Rice. Yeah, week one, you know, at Pitt. No, they're at home actually against Pitt.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
You know, tough situation, but then you look forward. Week two, they're in Tennessee. Week three, they play at St. Louis. Like, pretty favorable matchup.
Mm-hmm.
They got to deal with the Jets in week four, and then they have the bye. And then after the bye, it's an even more favorable matchup for him. Houston, Jacksonville, and then at home against Arizona. So this is a guy, you know, and unfortunately last year, I went on a tear at the end of the season. I made the play. I actually had a bye in the playoffs. I had Flacco as my quarterback. My team was pretty well put together, and I truly believe that I didn't get it done because I just didn't have the QB that I needed. I feel like this year, you know, with the weapons they have, I just believe that Baltimore is just going to be a powerhouse this year. So I was willing to spend that money on Ray Rice, and again with a decent schedule. I think he's going to get it done for us this year.
Now, how would you guys handle the situation? I know it must come up all the time, and I'm just going to pick these two teams. But say you have a Ray Rice, and your defense is the Steelers. Do you play both that week? I mean, how do you handle that? And your emotions? What do you do? I mean,
well, that's a good question. What you have to do is you have to hope for a big game from Ray Rice and 10 interceptions by the Steelers defense. I mean, it's an extreme example, but it's a realistic example. I mean, you need to, I would probably, and that's, let's just use that example. Yeah. I would probably either play both and hope for a scenario where Ray Rice is the only offense that Baltimore has. In other words, say he has 100 yards, scores a touchdown, and maybe the Steelers, you know, end up, you know, only giving up 10 points. Or I would say, you know what? What defenses are on the waiver wire? And in this particular case, maybe I say, as good as the Steelers defense is, maybe I take a chance on the Arizona Cardinals this week going up against Cam Newton or take the Cleveland Browns defense going against Andy Dalton and the Bengals. It's a really tough question. Really tough call. What about you?
I agree with you to an extent, but I mean, I'll kind of go the other way. Here you have an elite running back. You know, playing against, you know, a top-notch defense, but I just don't see how you could possibly bench him regardless of who he is playing.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, you have one of the best defenses in the league. You know, is Ray Rice going to go for 200 yards and three touchdowns? Probably not.
Right.
You know, throwing in the receptions, especially in my league with the points per reception, he's going to get some receptions. So, you know, I'm not shooting for the stars on this one, but if I can land in that 15 to 20 points out of him for this week is all right. As far as Pittsburgh goes, I don't see how you could bench them unless, like you said, there's just that perfect pickup off the waiver wire that you could just have for, you know, 1 week replacement and throw them in there. But personally, actually, I'd play both of them.
Yeah, I would be more reluctant to bench Rice than I would the Steelers, but it would be tough to bench either one.
Right.
Be tough to bench either way. And I agree with you on the Ravens offense. I think the Ravens offense is going to be pretty solid this year. I think Joe Flacco is going to be, a bit of a sleeper at quarterback. Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably middle of the pack in most rankings. I think he's going to be, in that 10 to 12 range in terms of quarterback.
It kind of reminds me of what the Red Sox used to think Ellis Burks was going to be. Always on the cusp of being that MVP type player.
Yeah.
But doesn't quite get there.
Yeah.
There's always one or two plays when a game, AFC championship games or a divisional playoff where they're favored or you think they're going to win or they have the game in the bag and then just something happens.
Yeah.
And even last year, I thought one of the best, the Patriots really did a great job against them last year. They were up by 10, Baltimore was, and the Patriots went, I think, six times, including overtime, where they went three and out. I mean, the way that the game started, you never thought that was going to be the case.
Yeah, he's still only, this is his fourth year, I think. In the first 2 years, I mean, I know it wasn't all him. It was more defense and running game. They went deep in the play. They made the playoffs, won a couple games in the playoffs. I don't think he's ever going to be a top five quarterback, actual quarterback or fantasy. But I think he can be top 10. I think he has a chance to be in that 8 to 10, 8 to 12 range.
Mike, now, before we let you go, and thanks for calling, make sure you call in every week because this will be great. As I know, you guys are so into it, and I'm into more reality. But see, the thing is, I'm emotionally scarred. My big friend from the North End when I was living there, my big buddy Luigi DeMarco, we were on a team together for 3 years, and we came close. We always missed the playoffs, it seemed, by a game. But I remember one night day on Sunday afternoon, we sat there and watched three of our wide receivers. Azakeem was one, and I can't remember the other two. But there were two broken legs and an ankle in a matter of like 3 minutes, and I puked. Oh. And I'm like, I'm never doing this again. This sucks, And it was we were watching it together. I said, Lou, do you believe this? Flip the station. There goes another guy. Flip it back. There goes. I said, I cannot believe we just lost three wide receivers in 3 minutes for the year. It was like game. It was like week four.
It's a dangerous game, fantasy football.
It is.
It's a dangerous game.
Well, I'll tell you, Pete. Before you guys let me go, this is just kind of what I had in mind here, and I'd love to be able to get a hold of you every week and chat fantasy football talk. There's nothing better. I got a stud, I got a dud, and I got a sleeper.
All right.
And we can kind of go off of that. And before I got on the line with you guys, you were kind of bashing my man Tim Hightower. Who I actually wound up in both of my leagues, and I couldn't agree with you more. Having Rex Grossman, behind the center there is a scary situation. But I just think this guy has potential. So I'm going to call Tim Hightower my sleeper for the week. I'm not going to put him in the stud category just yet. Mm-hmm. But
fair enough.
As you said earlier, banged up Giants defense. I mean, I know they were eighth against the run last year, but, just with the injuries, no Jonathan Goff, no Terrell Thomas. Like, this guy is I may eat my words next week, but I just feel as though Tim Hightower could be a really, really good start this week.
Okay.
As far as my dud, it's kind of like a Ray Rice, but it's tough not to start him. But I think Michael Turner suffers this week. Just dealing with the situation that he has going on against the Bears defense. On the road, on the grass, he coming off of his groin surgery in the off season, tough preseason. I just think Michael Turner, if you have another option, maybe go that way.
Yeah, I like his game a lot anyway. I mean, we've seen him as a backup take over games in the past.
Right.
With LT, in San Diego. But, you got one more?
I guess I could throw a stud your way.
All right.
My stud for this week, we'll roll with Beanie Wells.
A guy that
I'm kind of, I drafted him last year in one of my leagues.
Same. Not a good move.
He killed me. He killed me.
And Tim Hightower was, Tim Hightower, had the best of it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, different situation. I mean, granted, having a better quarterback is definitely going to help this team this year, so it's almost too bad for Tim Hightower that he's not there anymore. But Beanie Wells, tons of upside, favorable matchup this week with Carolina at home. And he's not getting much love, I'll be honest with you. Give or take around the 28th overall pick in most fantasy drafts, which is I guess about right for him. But, with this week here, Carolina, weak defense, they're just soft. And I just think, this could very well be, a top-notch week for a guy like Beanie Wells. And, just the offense is just, they're on point, and I think they're just going to beat these guys up.
Yeah, you know, you know, Tim Hightower, you're obviously higher on Tim Hightower than I am, but I think Tim Hightower is a good running back. I think he's going to have some value. You know, the one, when we brought his name up earlier, it was, you know, talking about, him or Javid Best for this week, and I went with Best. But I agree, you know, I think Tim Hightower, by the end of the year will be an okay, you know, he's a good option to have, maybe as a third running back on a team. But I'll tell you what, the thing about Beanie Wells, and I fell into the same trap last year. I had Beanie Wells and he was a disaster, but I compare him a little bit. You know, not quite the same situation, but remember Darren McFadden was the fourth pick in the draft, and he was a real big disappointment, both in terms of injuries and just his role for the first couple years. And then he started to break out last year. I think it was his third year. And I think there's a chance that Beanie Wells can follow a little bit of that same Darren McFadden path and have a breakout year this year. And I have him on one of my teams. I'm banking on that. So I like the matchup this week, too, for him. That was a good call right there.
Completely in agreement.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot, my friend, and I'll see you soon. And don't forget, every Thursday, you know, check in with us, because you're going
to
be great.
Yeah, that's the plan. Hey, Brian, right. if Mr. Shepard over there tries to get a little poker game going in that room, just completely decline that offer, because the guy's an absolute shark at the poker
game. That's what I've heard. I thank you for bringing that up. So I'll have to sneak out when he's about to mention that.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Michael, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. You can get in touch with us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, and we have take a quick break, and we'll come back, and I'll get to all the emails. I also have some questions on my Facebook page for you, Brian. Definitely. So you're listening to The Lowdown on The Pete Shepherd Show with Brian Lowe. Again, he'll be here every Thursday from 4 to 5. We're going to bang out as many of these emails as we can. Take your calls. Take a quick break. Back on Patriots.com after this.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts. Grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Back here on the Pete Shepherd Show today, featuring Brian Lowe and the Lowdown. We're going to do this every Thursday. Let's bang out these emails. We get a ton of them, and I got some stuff that people are sending me for you on my Facebook page. Great. We'll get to that as well. So this guy, it's Craig. Where's he from? Doesn't say. Craig says, "Hello all. A new fantasy season is here. I was wondering if you could give me your assessment of my team and strategy to begin the season. The league is 12-team PPR league. My team is as follows," and we're not going to go through every name, but I'll give some of them. Sam Bradford, Adrian Peterson, Tim Hightower. Tim Hightower's big, huh? Tim Hightower, Vincent Jackson, Mike Wallace, Wes Welker, Jermichael Finley. Start with the offense there.
Yeah, well, I think, and as he mentions later in the email, I think the starting quarterback is probably the weakest spot there, and second running back position. Definitely deep at wide receiver, because on his bench he's got Lee Evans, Julio Jones, and Plexico Burris. So you got two wide receivers you start, Vincent Jackson and Mike Wallace, and then the flex position, Wes Welker. So Craig's question is, you know, do I trade a receiver to upgrade my quarterback or second running back? And I say yes, and I actually think, you know, Vincent Jackson and Mike Wallace, those are two of the top, say, 12 or 14 wide receivers, mm-hmm. Probably right now for fantasy. I'm really high on Lee Evans. I would say Wes Welker might be the guy to try to trade, because I just think with the Patriots offense this year, he's going to be good. You know, he's going to get his catches. He's going to get his yards. Not sure on the touchdowns. I would say that if Wes Welker has some value around your league, and being a point per reception league, he probably does. If you're able to, you know, package Welker and maybe even Hightower for a better second running back, I would maybe consider that. But, you know, I think Bradford's going to be okay this year. I think Bradford, under Josh McDaniels, they don't have necessarily the greatest group of wide receivers, but, you know, some of the Patriots teams that Josh McDaniels ran didn't have the greatest wide receivers either, and Tom Brady was still.
But they also had one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Well, exactly, so I'm not going to compare Bradford to Brady.
Not yet,
but I think Bradford could still have a pretty solid fantasy year even without having elite wide receivers. So I wouldn't go too far in working a trade, but if you're trying to upgrade and there's some guys available in trade at quarterback, I would say Welker and Hightower are your tradable guys.
The only thing about Welker, though, is that this week I would never trade him against Miami. He destroys them.
He averages New over England 90 yards.
Yeah, 90 yards a game. Yeah. And, you know, I'd have to look up all the touchdowns. It's probably not as many touchdowns, but certainly the yardage is there for him. He has monster games.
And I'm also big on kind of trusting my instincts from the draft. You know, I like to just, I like to have a bit of a plan in the draft, go for guys that I'm interested in, and see how it plays out. So it's a risk, because sometimes I could come back to bite you, you know, it's not not ideal. Hey, Kevin, we might need
Kevin,
you to
come in here
jump
and,
on in here and
reset. Let me read your question off my Facebook page.
Definitely.
And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETSHEPPARD. Brett says, "Yo, Pete the Meat." And Brian, actually, it says Brain. I think he's typo.
You know, I've typed. I've done the typos.
Do you think Ray Rice will have a monster season? And who should I start for my second running back this week, Sean Green or James Starks?
Well, I do think Ray Rice will have a monster season, so I would definitely ride him as far as you can. James Starks or Sean Green. I'll tell you what, I'm not really high on either guy. But I think maybe matchup wise, James Starks tonight against New Orleans might be a better bet than Sean Green against Dallas. I think that Dallas defense is going to be pretty solid. I'd hesitate to use Sean Green this week. So, it's a close one because I'm not really sold on Starks. But I'd lean towards Starks on that one.
Oh, I agree with you because that, to me, the Jet-Dallas game is going to be very similar to what we saw last year opening night when the Jets played Baltimore, and that was
low scoring.
Very low. There was 13-10 or 16-13. Yeah. It was one of those. That's the kind of game I see on Sunday, although I hope Dallas wins 72-0.
Yeah.
On Sunday night. Pete, the worst part of fantasy football is when your players are up against the Pats. So I either bench my guys playing the Pats and put them in a route for them to fail, but I do tend to draft NFC just to be safe.
So this is a Patriots. Todd's a Patriots fan who, yeah, you know, it's a conflict. You know, you got Brandon Marshall and he's going against the Patriots this week. I mean, can you root for Brandon Marshall this week? No, not if you're a Patriots fan. But that's that separation of real and fantasy that you got to deal with. So it can be tough. It can definitely be tough.
Kevin says, hey guys, should I play Mark Ingram tonight or Reggie Bush on Monday?
I'd go Bush.
I would too.
Because, you know, Daniel Thomas, who's their rookie running back, he got hurt at practice. He's probably going to be questionable. Mm-hmm. They re-signed Larry Johnson today, which, hey, I don't think Larry Johnson is going to be much of a factor for them this week or all season, but I think Reggie Bush is going to be the focal point of that offense. I really like Mark Ingram, too, over the course of this season. But between those two, I like Reggie Bush.
Well, the thing about Reggie Bush that's going to be interesting is he – and Speranos has said this, and I talked to the guy from Miami Herald yesterday, Jeff Darlington, about it. He thinks he's going to get 20-plus carries a game. He's never done it. I mean
– no.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, he could get killed for all. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's just not a guy that's used to carrying the ball 25 times
right.
a game. So,
and I
have no idea what to expect. We know what he can do catching the ball.
Exactly. And I think, you know, over the course of the season, it's all up in the air. How Reggie Bush is going to be durability wise. You know, what kind of role is he going to have in the kicking game? Is that going to affect his usage on offense? So I think there's a lot to be, we still got to see about this Miami offense and Bush's role. But I think for this Monday night, based on injuries they have at running back, a really fluid situation, Chad Henne being Chad Henne, I would say Reggie Bush has a pretty good chance at a combined, all-purpose 100 yards and maybe a score somewhere. But yeah, over the course of the season, I might say Ingram over Bush over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. But this week, I don't think Mark Ingram, being a rookie, being a couple different guys, running back for them, I don't think he's going to have a huge night tonight. I'd go Bush.
It had to be somewhat flattering to most of the fantasy football players when Chris Johnson comes out and basically addresses fantasy football players first about that. Don't give up on me. How did your draft take place during that whole fiasco? I mean, I'm sure most people thought he was going to sign somewhere, but still, we've seen guys sit out now. At some point. So how did that all go down with your leagues? Did it cause a lot of confusion?
You know, the one draft that I had that was while his holdout was still going on, we actually have a keeper league. So he was kept by the person that had him, which was a no-brainer to me, even with what was going on. But I know that, you know, going into a draft, that was an unsettling situation because, you know, running backs know that they have a short shelf life, and I think running backs, I didn't think he was going to hold out for the entire season or really into the season, but there was a chance there. There was a chance, and you had to start thinking, okay, let's say he holds out for the first couple of games, then he has a slow start once he gets back. Let's say he's not himself for 5 or 6 games. That's not a guy I want to take first overall. So definitely a sigh of relief. For people who had already drafted him or people who had the first or second pick in a draft and were really torn. But then you had the other interesting one was Arian Foster tweeting the picture or the MRI.
MRI of his leg, of his ankle.
Yeah, yeah. Of whatever it was.
Crazy.
But that was another one. He actually
Can you imagine
was,
if that happened here?
Oh.
Belichick would have a freaking meltdown.
Exactly.
Not publicly. Why would you expose yourself like that?
No upside. But I think
you guys is great.
Yeah, right.
Fantasy football people.
But Foster had a comment, I think on Twitter, where he was pissed off that people were asking him about his injury only as it relates to their fantasy team and not about himself physically, personally. He was upset at fantasy football players.
Well, I mean, you know, they are a selfish group. But it should be.
That's right.
Hey, there's big bucks on the line.
You hear all these stories about players, you
play
know.
Play money.
Yeah,
right.
Going into restaurants and
yeah.
Athletes going into restaurants and being questioned about their, you know, why aren't you getting the ball more? I need you for my fantasy team. And it's a wild industry.
Who started fantasy football?
Does
anybody know, like, the genesis of the whole thing?
You know, I think I've seen some stories here and there.
Because fantasy baseball was first.
Yes. Rotisserie.
Stuff. Stratomatic had football back in when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s.
I don't know if it was one of the ESPN 30 for 30s or it was some documentary last year, the last couple of years that had the beginnings of roto football, roto baseball and whatever it was. How it got, that's a good question. I may have to do some research on that, how it really came to be, but boy, has it grown every year.
I mean, it really is unbelievable. And I used to goof around. I mean, I was in the league for 3 years, you know, back like 10 years ago, but I haven't done it since. I used to goof up, but I mean, you can't ignore it anymore. And even if we weren't going to do this, if you weren't here, I was going to try to find somebody that could. You have to ignore it. And even, I know mainstream radio, I know some people are doing it. Some people, the older folks think it's stupid. I think there's a place for it. There's no question. There are too many people, thousands and thousands, if not millions, that are involved in these fantasy leagues and multiple leagues for the most part. So there's definitely a place for it.
Yeah, you go to a bookstore or a newsstand, and there are just as many fantasy preview magazines as there are NFL preview magazines.
But more, I think.
Yeah, NFL Red Zone. I mean,
well, that was my next question.
Fantasy football.
I was going to ask you, is there anything more orgasmic, non-sexual way than the Red Zone channel and what that has done? And this is why, and I know this is, you know, the tickets now being, if you have DirecTV, they're giving it to you free. Of course it is. Because why would you go buy that when you can, I mean, all we care about the Red Zone channel is, it's exactly what you need.
That's it.
You don't need anything else in life except some good prosciutto and mozzarella, and that's it. And the Red Zone channel. I don't need anything else.
And you can have the prosciutto and mozzarella while watching the Red Zone. But think about it. There's a channel out there that is only of use 17 days a year. There are 365 days on the calendar last time I checked. And this channel is only available and useful for 17 days, and yet it's probably the most useful channel for football fans among every channel that exists.
Because you really don't, and again, I'm not slandering DirecTV or the NFL ticket, which you give me, but why, you don't need to see eight little squares up in front. Doesn't matter anymore. And they do a great job on the Red Zone channel of doing what they do. And now, of course, ESPN does a little bit now on college football. So that's my next thing. When's college fantasy football going to come to fruition? Or is there one out there already we just don't know about?
I'm sure people find it if they want it, but then you'll have an even bigger issue with college athletes not getting paid because they'll say, hey, I'm a part of this big industry now. You got to pay me. So I don't know. That's it. But I'll tell you what. I'm sure there's people that do college football fantasy, college basketball fantasy, because why not? There's you know, I know around here, you know, college sports aren't as big as they are in many other regions of the country.
Yeah, but, you know, I've never bought that. Because you know, Boston College has, you know, had, you know, some decent success over the years. But all I know is everybody I've ever hung out with, and you know, I'm 44 years old. I'm a little older than you, a lot older than you. But I mean, since I was, I don't know, so I can remember watching sports 7 or 8 years old. I don't ever remember a time where I wasn't interested in college football. And I don't know any of my friends they're all interested in college football, and their friends are interested in college football. So I don't understand why it gets a bad rap in New England. I think it's perception reality type of thing, because Boston College is the only, quote, you know,
right.
Real,
you got Boston
Division
College,
school,
you got UMass a little bit, and they've
UConn
had UConn
now.
Yeah, UConn. Yeah, yeah.
A couple more before here. Dave says, "Hi, with Morris gone, the roster doesn't have a fullback. What does that mean, if anything? Does one of many running backs veer towards a fullback role like Morris did, or does it mean two running backs or two tight end sets and a more shotgun?"
You know, I don't think Morris's departure plays a huge role in the dynamics of the offense. I think they for a couple years they had Heath Evans who was a traditional fullback, but don't forget, goal line packages on this team, you might see Dan Connolly line up as a fullback. You might see, two tight ends or a third tackle.
Well, the guy who's going to be the biggest threat, and no doubt in goal line situation, to me, is Gronkowski. I mean, he is built for that. He's going to be a machine this year.
Yeah, and I don't think any of that is affected by Sammy Morris.
I don't think you have to
downgrade Ben Jarvis Green Ellis because Sammy Morris isn't here. You know, who on the team would be the fullback? Now they don't really have one. But like I said, between Dan Connolly, and, you know, you get guys, that they, remember Russ Hochstein? They didn't need a fullback on the team because they had Russ Hochstein.
So I wouldn't, Dave,
read too much into that in terms of, you know, the dynamics of the offense. Whether you're asking this from a fantasy perspective or not, not much of an impact.
So let me ask you, the number one overall fantasy player, is it Chris Johnson? Is that in your eyes? I mean, if
I put Chris Johnson slightly ahead of Adrian Peterson, but they're one and two. Really any way you look at it, I think they're one and two. They're still young enough that the wear and tear in the league isn't going to affect them this year. They're the centerpieces of the offense for their teams. They're one and two.
But see, to me, a guy who could, I think people who have Adrian Peterson on this team this year, I think could possibly be in some trouble, only because of Donovan McNabb at quarterback. And I don't know what he's going to give you, but all of a sudden, if there's going to be eight in the box all the time, and I'm not saying it's going to be, I'm saying initially it might be okay, but Adrian Peterson, I wouldn't be shocked if he takes a bit of a step back there. I mean, he's a great running back. We all know what he's capable of and all that stuff, but I would not be surprised. I think Minnesota stinks. I mean, they're mediocre to poor at best. And, you know,
no, it's a
I've
good
seen
point.
Too many great running backs on crappy teams, and Barry Sanders did it all the time. So,
but they
were always on the cusp of making the playoffs and did make it a couple of times. And
you can make the same argument about Chris Johnson, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
no question.
That is not a dynamic offense outside of Chris Johnson. I mean, you've got Matt Hasselbeck, who at this point, ordinary run-of-the-mill quarterback. You've got wide receivers. I mean, I think Kenny Britt has a chance to have a good year. You got Nate Washington. You know, you got a tight end called Jared Cook. It's not like this is a dynamic offense. But I think, you know, Chris Johnson, I think his speed, his ability to avoid tackles, I think he's that elite that he'll be able to overcome it. And I think with Peterson, you know, they've got a good enough offensive line. Like you, I'm not sold on Donovan McNabb, but I think with some of the weapons they have, I think, you know, with Percy Harvin, you know, maybe even Kyle Rudolph, I don't think opposing defenses are going to be able to just focus on
Not initially. I'm not saying initially, but I think he could be into for some rough games this year.
Right. But
and
I
may,
think
may look great before the game starts on paper, but he might be in some trouble this year if they can't get it going over there.
And I look at guys like Cedric Benson, who I think is going to have a real frustrating year. You know, that's not a good offense overall, and I think teams are going to be able to load up the box against him. I'm not as high on the D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart duo as a lot of other people are. They had a great year last year, but I just don't know if it's going to continue this year. So it's a huge factor. The overall offense is a huge factor for a running back.
How is I know you're going to get going in a few minutes, but just one more question for
you.
How we've seen the Patriots are one of the teams, one of many, that have gone to basically a two running back. I mean, kind of an equal amount of carries.
Yeah.
It seems to be a trend nowadays in the last 4 or 5 years. Really, it's been a two-back system for many teams. That's had to make an impact on fantasy football.
Maybe the biggest impact on fantasy football among any sort of development or evolution in the league, because there's a handful of teams, and we've talked about Johnson and Adrian Peterson, and I think Jamal Charles. But even Frank Gore. I mean, there's a rookie there, Kendall Hunter, who is going to be their backup, and he could take carries away from, you know, it's not going to be like Frank Gore is going to have 28 carries a game and this other kid's going to have four. It's going to be more like 18 to 20 for Gore and probably 10 to 14 for the other guy. And it makes it extremely difficult to decide who to start on a week to week basis, because it's just that is the biggest killer for fantasy owners. It makes an extreme challenge. It makes it fun. I think it makes it fun. It's fantasy owners. They just rip NFL coaches because why can't you just give this guy the carries and all that? But you know what? From the perspective of NFL coaches, over the course of a 16-game season, and you hope in 18, 19, 20-game season, you need your running backs to stay fresh. You can't afford to give your running back 25 carries a game in September and October and risk him not being healthy in January when you might really need him. So that's the way it goes. And you've got to really be, there's a lot of strategy involved, week to week. It has to do with matchups. It has to do with, just reading the injury report. If the starting running back, is a little nicked up, maybe this is a week where the backup's going to get more carries. It makes it tough. It really does.
Last question. How do you overcome, we saw it in 08 here with Tom Brady. You're seeing it with, I think, it looks like Peyton Manning may not play at all this year or very little. How does a fantasy football owner overcome a devastating injury like that? Is it impossible? Can you still make a playoffs?
Not impossible. Because here's the thing. Think about last year. Arian Foster and Michael Vick. Leading into the season, there's a lot of people who had never even heard of Arian Foster. Certainly people had heard of Michael Vick, but it wasn't until Cobb got hurt and there was a little bit of an uptick on Vick, and those two became probably the two most valuable fantasy football players last year. You've got to be lucky and you've got to be smart to overcome a Tom Brady injury in 2008. But what you have to do is you need to see, okay, my quarterback position might be struggling. I'm going to maybe pick up Matt Castle because he's going to be the starting quarterback and see how he goes. But you've got to really see and pinpoint who are the guys at other I'm going to have to make up for it in other positions. Who's this year's Arian Foster? Who is this year's Michael Vick? It's luck. I mean, you can't recover without luck.
Yeah.
But it's also really paying attention to what else
unless
is going on
Andrew
in the league.
Luck is going to be a unless great fantasy Luck. Quarterback.
He's definitely going to be a guy. He could be the next Peyton Manning. But no, it's a real crusher. I mean, it's a maybe not everybody's like Kevin Collins who put all the eggs in the Peyton Manning basket this year.
The Kleenex he's gone through today already is just unbelievable.
But Brady in 2008, he was probably a number one, a first round draft pick for a lot of teams. Went into the season fully healthy, and in the first quarter he's out, and you're stuck.
I personally fainted.
But me.
Good drop in there.
I passed out when it happened, and I knew it was bad as he was walking down the stairs.
You could tell. You could tell. But you need luck, Pete, to overcome that, but that's the way it goes.
Brian, you're the man. Great stuff today, as always, and looking forward to next Thursday. You'll be here every Thursday
at 4
and
5.
Now it's 5:08, but that's okay.
No, well, we started around 4:08.
Have a safe trip to Miami. I know you'll be on the plane with the team. Have fun in that hot humidity and that stinky stadium with all those.
I don't care where it is. It's a good football. It's a football game.
It should be a one hell of a game.
Be a hell of a time. We'll see you next Thursday.
Yes, you will. All right, Brian. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Brian Lowe with a lowdown football segment of our show here. Every Thursday, you can check in with Brian. Good stuff. Thanks for all the emails. And I'll be here till 6. When we come back, I'm going to take a quick break. We're broadcasting live, the Pete Shepherd Show, our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. You can Twitter as well. I'll check that. But I'd rather do Facebook and the webmail. It's just easier for me to grab right now. And I know there's some messages on Facebook about the upcoming games. And we'll get to that. I'll have my picks at the bottom of the hour. Some interesting stuff. And we shall have all my picks about who's the division, wild card, who's going to go to the Super Bowl, all that stuff. It's all part of the Pete Shepherd Show. We're back after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Boxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats were driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Do that. I'm gonna run through it. Can we set like what the college kids do? Just put up a banner up, Kevin. I'll just run through the door. You know, I feel like I need to light a torch. I want a torch in my. I need to light something.
We'll have to get you a wireless mic.
Oh, absolutely. I'm running around the room. No one else is in here. Hey, by the way, the closet that the Big Show crew was in the other day. I mean, it's like I don't know. They're drilling holes in the ceiling. The place is like destroyed.
Yeah, they decided to demolish it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Glenn must have farted in there.
Oh, well, somebody did. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Tried to get Rodney Harrison to join us today, but, you know, he big-timed me. He said he was going to be big. We tried to get Rodney on today, but we'll get him on another time. All the nice things I used to say about him. I take it all back, Rodney. Come on. Remember him crying in my arms at the Super Bowl, hugging me? What good was all that? Where's the love when I need you the most? Anyway, enough of that. But Rodney, we will get Rodney on at some point this year, I promise. And he's just a great guy, great to talk to. Tried to get him on today, but too busy. And Patriots in Miami coming up Monday night. Tonight, of course, is the inaugural scene and the stuff. The only thing I hate about it tonight is the pregame crap. I hate all that stuff. I mean, I could care less. Most of the people that are singing, I don't care for anyway. Doesn't matter to me. So I just wait, and I hope the kickoff is around. I'm sure it's going to be like 8:17. It's not going to be 8 o'clock kickoff. I hope it is, but it's probably more like 8:17. and stuff, but I just hate all the hype and the stupid music before that and everything else. And one little thing, we're going to get into the Patriots and Dolphins and a little bit on the and the Packers and the Saints. I think it's just going to be a terrific, terrific football game tonight. But I, Chad Finn talked about it today in the Boston Globe. Others wrote about it today, too. The piece coming up on Bill Belichick, NFL Films, doing its going to debut next week, a week from tonight on the NFL Network. I think it's 8 o'clock. And then part two will air a week, 2 weeks from tonight. But I know they had a special screening where some media people got a chance to see it, and Chad wrote a great article about it. It just seems like it's going to be just an unbelievable piece, fascinating, a side to Bill that a lot of people don't get to see. And again, I was privy for many years when I was with the guys on the big show and everything to be here, to be with Bill, you know, for whatever, 10 or 11 years on every Monday. So we got to know him a little bit more than others, and certainly off the air, got to see a side of him that, you know, just, you know, he's a funny guy. He really is. And he's a fascinating, one of the most fascinating men you'd speak with about a lot of different things. So it was great to see him. I know that the piece, if you haven't seen it, Patriots.com has it up. You can see the little preview. It's like a 2-minute and 45-second little snippet of what to expect. And you see him on his boat in Nantucket. And I'm going to be fascinated to see some of the stuff, Tuesday meeting stuff with Tom Brady and the meetings that he has on a weekly basis with Tom and some other things. So that's good stuff. That's a week from tonight on the NFL Network, and that'll be a keeper. I'll get to all my picks in just a little bit. Let me read some stuff here from Facebook and get to the emails again. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. That is the number. Let me just get to this last. Let's see. I mean, on Webmail Radio, let's see. This is Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Maybe you could help me. My wife calls me a fair weather fan. Maybe you could help me. Last year when the Patriots and Jets playoff game, the Patriots started doing dumb things and beating them themselves with mental mistakes. I got so pissed off after the first quarter, I told my wife, get your jacket. We are going for a walk down the beach and getting an ice cream cone. I did not watch any football again until Patriots preseason this year. I am now back at the Patriots hype again. I am not asking the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. That would be nice. But all I'm asking is do not go out there and beat yourselves. I just want to know, have you ever felt like I did, and am I a fair weather fan? P.S. Ridley went to LSU and loves the heat and humidity and killed the Florida teams here. Yes. Okay. But I understand that. But somehow, some way, when you put on that Patriot uniform and go to Miami and the humidity, goofy things tend to happen sometimes. No, I don't think you're a fair weather fan, Gene. I'm a little, I don't know how you could have possibly walked away from that Jet game. I don't know how. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, you know, it ended up being just a touchdown game, and I know the score didn't seem that close, but they had a chance to tie that game late in the fourth quarter and couldn't do it. I mean, that could have ended up being a classic, but it wasn't. It ended up being a classic dud for the Patriots at the end of the game, but no, I mean, I couldn't have walked away. I don't say you're a fair weather fan. I mean, you email every week. You seem very passionate. I feel your pain. I understand. You know, I understand it. But I wouldn't have walked away from it. I sure as hell wouldn't have. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 298, or 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. On Facebook, Craig says, Pete, now with Manning out for a while, do you think the Colts will blatantly point, shave, and tank their season as they can draft Andrew Luck? It sounds crazy, but you got to think Bill Polian is in a panic mode. Craig, you're right. I'll just leave it at it sounds crazy. Yes, I don't think that will happen. I think they have too much integrity for that. Now, they may inadvertently end up tanking this season, you know? I mean, just because Kerry Collins, how far is he going to take you? And maybe they go after Garrett, I don't know. But I can't see Kerry Collins playing 16 games at quarterback this year.
Cut that meat!
Exactly.
Sandwich.
Cut that meat!
$6.
Bill in San Diego says, what's up, Pete Shep? And it says, Kevin, you suck. Just wanted to say I like the show and bleep the Jets. Keep up the good work.
Go yourself, San Diego.
What do you think about the Finns? I think they suck. Bleep. Bleep them. Woo! I'm headed to Vegas. I'm putting the life savings on the Patriots. That's right. 500 on the line. P.S. Do you think Mark Sanchez will soon come out as the... Oh, God, please. As a oh my goodness!
Not fit for radio, Pete.
Nah, well, I mean, I could say it, but I mean, you know, you get the idea. You get the idea. I'm trying to think what his point was. What do you think about the fence? Like I said, I think this is going to be a very interesting game. I'll give you my. I think the Patriots pull away and win by double digits in this one, but this is not going to be a Patriots, I don't believe, thrashing. Unless Henny really screws up early and if the Patriots jump out in like the first couple minutes to a 10-0 lead or a 14-0 lead, they get a couple of quick touchdowns. I think Miami is in deep, deep doo-doo. Big time. But barring that, and I don't see that happening right off the bat. I mean, anything's possible. I don't have a crystal ball. I just think it's going to be kind of a nip and tuck game. It'll be one of those games where the Patriots are never quite feel comfortable until the end. You know what I'm saying? And it's because they play in that stadium on opening night. It's just, I've seen it too many times. I just don't think it's going to be like a 30-point win for the Patriots. I think it'll look more comfortable and on the scoreboard at the end than it was actually during the game. Let's put it that way. I think the Patriots will pull away in the end and we'll get it done. The Chad Henne stuff is fascinating to me. How Reggie Bush is going to be. Reggie Bush running the ball 20 plus times. I still can't believe that. I'm still going to wait to see if I actually, I'll have to see it to believe it. But that's the plan. That's the plan. Gary says on Facebook, I'm interested in your thoughts on the Patriots' more aggressive defensive style they are playing this year. Not necessarily the 4-3 versus the 3-4 defense, since they always played both, but more the attacking style. I'm interested in your thoughts on Sean Ellis and Andre Carter and what you think their impact will be. Do you think they will generate a lot of sacks and pressure? What about Gerard Mayo playing more outside linebacker and rushing the passer? It seems like he could be devastating in that role. How about Jermaine Cunningham? Do you think he's ready to step up and generate more pressure? Well, let me do the latter first. But Jermaine Cunningham, we saw glimpses last year of how, I mean, there were times I thought last year he might have looked like the best player on the field at some point. At some points in the games, he looked really good. You know, and I think he's going to continue to develop. I like him a lot. I think Sean Ellis and Andre Carter are going to be the real deal. I know Andre, you know, initially the first couple of games looked fantastic. I mean, the first preseason game against preseason. So, but I mean, he was just unstoppable against Tampa Bay. They didn't know what to do. And again, this is where people get caught up in sacks. And even though he didn't have a ton of sacks, he made a huge impact. I mean, other people were just swarming the ball in that game. I think Haynesworth, Carter, and Ellis, without a doubt, are going to have an impact on this team. I have no doubt about it that they are going to have an impact on this team. And, you know, Haynesworth today talked about, you know, waking up the sleeping giant and all that stuff. And we don't have that sound, Kevin. Do we have that sound from Albert today?
I can get it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, see what he's, you know, he seems, you know, he's saying all the right things. And let's hope he can back it up on the field. I do think he's going to make a factor. Gerard Mayo playing more outside linebacker. I mean, I don't know. I think it depends on the situation in the game and what's in certain stunt packages. I'm sure they'll try to blitz him a little bit depending on who's at quarterback. Well, that wouldn't shock me at all if he blitzed a little bit more against Henny. Excuse me. Who's, you know, he loves to check down and, you know, you want Chad Henny to throw the ball down the middle of the field. That's what you want. So it'll be interesting. Gerard Mayo, certainly. I mean, I'd love to see him be able to rush the pass. But on the other hand, if he does that, do you weaken them? Do you weaken him, you know, playing where he is? You know, at the will spot. So I think the game will dictate on how Bill will use him. And if he sees a weakness they can exploit, he'll send him. You know, it's going to be, you know, Lawrence Taylor out there going crazy. No, I don't think so, but I agree. I'd love to see him rush the quarterback more, but then that might weaken them in some other spots. And even though Ninkovich is good in cover, to me, Brandon Spikes, I want to see him step it up a little bit. That's who I'm waiting to see. And I'm also curious, as I've said all week long, about Lee Bodden. You know, we haven't seen a lot of Lee in the preseason, and I'm just hoping that, you know, Brandon Marshall doesn't torch him. Of course, that would depend on also Chad Henne. Nick says Bayless sucks, which is Skip Bayless, which is, I'm sorry, what?
You want to listen to some Albert?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we got Albert Haynesworth. This is from early today, right? All right, here's Albert Haynesworth, Patriots defensive lineman.
Defense is the dumbest, though, so a majority of the time, I mean, I haven't – you know, it's in the net, that it wasn't televised, so, and that other teams didn't see. So, I guess maybe for the fans, you know, more, not just our fans, but people who usually don't get to see me play, or get to see me play, but anytime I step on the field, I'm trying to prove myself.
Albert,
you've been in this game for a little while now.
Oh, sorry.
What do you like about that?
Well, I like everything. I mean, they're, you know, we're just getting after it. You know, Coach Belichick is a great coach, and you know, he uses what he has.
Physically, mentally, are you where you want to be?
Yeah, I am. I'm feeling good, and you know, I talked to my coaches, and I said, you know, since the day you got in here, you've been improving and getting better and better. I mean, I still have work to do to get to where I want to be. But, you know, it's come along great.
What does the leadership mean in this locker room? There's six captains were voted and announced today.
Yeah.
How would you characterize the leadership on this team?
I think it's great, but it's not like a, you know, last year's is a little different, you know, that your captains or whatever were, like, almost above the team here. With, you know, May on the bench, you go up and talk to those guys. It's not saying you couldn't do that in D.C., but here, you know, it's really like a family in the locker room. I mean, everybody's for you. You know, no matter what happens, if that guy, you know, does something, whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all behind them, and, you know, we're not going to pass judgment or anything like that. So it's all about, you know, everybody being for you, you know, for you, and everybody having your back.
Are you looking forward to this season open more, a lot more than you have the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah. At least last year, I didn't think I was going to play. I was playing a lot of scout teams. So, you know, now I'm in the system and I'm playing and practicing and stuff. And I think it's time for me, I guess, the sleeping giant to awake and to go back out there on my field and play football again.
You guys also looking forward to seeing as a unit, a collection, what you guys can do as a defense?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're excited. So excited that, you know, we can't tell anything about it. But, but we're really excited to go out there and show off what we can do as a defense.
All right, Patriots defensive lineman Albert Haynesworth, and again, look, let's. I still think there's a pretty good unknown factor here with this guy. What he's going to be able to, how long he's going to be able to stay on the field during the games. But I just think overall between Haynesworth and Wilfork and Carter, and Sean Ellis out there at times, and you know, Mike Wright, I just like what I'm seeing. I think they're going to be pretty good. I mean, again, only time will tell, as it is for everybody. But initially, I like it. I'm more concerned how what's going to happen. You know, the Brandon Spikes and then the secondary. You know, Josh Barrett, Patrick Chung, as I've said, I think is a rising star in this league. I think he's going to be real good. And Lee, you know, I'm a tad concerned about Lee Bodden. I'll be honest with you, coming into this game, because he hasn't played that much. I know what he's capable of, and he's, you know, he hasn't been great since he's been here, but he's been pretty good when he's been on the field. You know, Devin McCourty was named a team captain today. By the way, congratulations to him and all the other team captains, in case you missed it, goes, if I can get my note, well, you know the obvious. Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, Matthew Slater, Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Devin McCourty. And again, special teams was such a big part of last year's win in Miami in October 4th. Special teams. Don't discount, because the guy that, at least in the preseason stuff, the one guy that stood out to me, special teams, was Slater. He's the only one it seemed that was had some tremendous run back. So maybe he ends up getting that gig. I'd rather see him do it. I don't want to see Welker doing Edelman. You know, has done okay at it at times. He looked great at it. But Slater seems like he might be the guy. He might be the real deal. Tom says, hey, Pete, what's up? I wanted to ask you on Facebook, what one player on the Patriots' defensive side of the ball will be a surprise player and step up and play a big role on this team for defense, as such as McCourty did last year. Interested in your thoughts. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Tom. Well, again, there's a couple. And I just don't know enough about Josh Barrett. If he stays healthy, I think it could be him. I also think it could be Brandon Spikes. I'm hoping it's Brandon Spikes. I mean, we know what Mayo can do. Ninkovich, I mean, I expect already. I mean, Carter, Wilfork, Haynesworth, Mike Wright, and Bodden, and you know what you have there. I'm looking for a guy like Brandon Spikes, and I'm already gonna jump on the bandwagon. I could be way off base here, but Jeff Darlington kind of backed me up yesterday with the Miami Herald. I really believe, after what I have read and seen from down in South Florida, that the Patriots might have got a pretty good steal here in A.J. Eads, the linebacker from Miami. I'm not even sure if he's going to dress Monday night. I don't even know. I mean, I don't think anybody does. But he's been here and practicing. You know what? But if you listen to Jeff yesterday, and you go back and listen to the podcast and what I have read and seen, this guy may end up being, and I'm calling him kind of like the Danny Woodhead kind of a steal for the Patriots. I would watch for this guy. If he's playing tomorrow night, watch A.J. Eads, if he can stay healthy. He might be somebody that we might be talking about a lot at the end of the season. So, look for those two guys. Me personally, the guy I really want to see step up is Spikes. That's the guy I'm looking at this year on defense. Because you pretty much know what you have in everybody else. I'm not saying, you know, some are better than others. You know, we'll see. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And you can check us out at webmailme at patriots.com. That's web radio at patriots.com. And also Facebook, me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And we'll break in just a little bit, in a couple of minutes. But when we come back, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now. I mean, I have dissected, I have analyzed, I've had my crack Pete Shepard lackeys going at it, giving me all stats and information about. And you know what? I'll say it, Kevin. I'm going to do it what I did. And I'll say it. If I don't go at least 62% this week, then next week is free. And that's going against the spread and all the pay. We don't just pick winners here. Anybody can pick winners. That's easy. You know? But I'm going to guarantee 62% winners or next week is free. How about that, Kevin? You can't find that offer anywhere. No 900 number, no website, no overseas. You know, I'm giving you guaranteeing 62%. And you wait to hear some of you about my thoughts about tonight's game as well. Now, tonight's game again. I know last year we were talking about with Brian about New Orleans and Minnesota, how people thought that was going to be high scoring. It wasn't, but to me, this is different. And again, what happened in 2008 has nothing to do with how I feel tonight. 2008, the last time these two teams played was 51-29 New Orleans. I'm not saying there's going to be 80 points in the game, but I do think there are going to be some points scored. The total is 48. I think it's going to fly over that. I really do. And I just think it's going to be a very close game. I'll give you my prediction coming up in just a little bit. But right now, let's head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Carl from Montreal is joining us here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's up, Pete, man? I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad you're back.
7 months. It couldn't take longer. And, you know, I was going around telling the people in Montreal about you.
Really?
And I was saying, you know, this guy took it so hard. The Jets lost. He couldn't even make it in to do his show. I didn't know about the weather out there.
Well, the weather was a factor. There was 2 days where I literally could not get out of my driveway. That was one factor. And then I had a car issue one day, another time coming down. And then I was just going to come in quick and do an hour recap and everything else. That didn't work out. And it just got to be ridiculous. And it was, so I just did a whole thing on Facebook and thanked everybody, all the callers, producers, and everything else. But I promise you that will not be the case this year, because I'll be win, lose, or draw come the end of the season. Hopefully my last show will be talking about them being Super Bowl champs. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just glad I'm on 3 days this week, 3 days this year every week, which is great, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm glad you're back, Carl. So what's on your mind?
Well, you know what? I liked, you know, I went a little too crazy when we signed the first day Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco. And I was on that bubble till the Detroit game. And then that same thing about the O-line having trouble against these teams like Baltimore, teams like the Giants when they were in their pass rushing days. And now, you know, Detroit maybe has the best front four in the game. And this scares me, because the one thing about the offense, there's no big plays anymore. I mean, since Brady's come back off the injury, you know, how many deep deep plays have, I mean, it's all crisscross patterns.
Yeah, but Carl, just remember the pre. Remember, this is why you never ever get carried away in the preseason. They played about as vanilla a game against Detroit as you can. Now, had the energy Detroit didn't? Absolutely not. That was like Detroit's Super Bowl. I mean, they had a lot to prove to themselves. I really would not go crazy about how that team played in that game. I just wouldn't. And the way the defense played, that was as vanilla as it gets. That Ninkovich was a defensive lineman, I think, in a couple of schemes that they were running. I mean, stuff that you would never see during the regular season. And they are just not going to reveal a lot. And Belichick is not going to sit there and go bombs away and run all these, sophisticated crissy cross type patterns and, you know, post patterns and flag patterns. You're just not going to see it. So, I mean, you saw, I take it in game one when you saw the exhibition game, if you did against Tampa, probably went out of your mind, right? The way Carter was playing looked like a beast. You know, the defense looked like they were going to sack everybody every single time. But, you know, it's preseason. I mean, they looked fantastic defensively in that game and really good offensively as well in that game. And then, you know, the first two games you looked okay. The last two games, the fourth game, you just throw it away. I just say don't get overly excited by what you see in the preseason. And Chris Collinsworth finally said something of substance in the second to last preseason game that they did on NBC. It was the Raiders and whoever they were playing. And or it might have been San Diego. I forget who it was. He just said, you know what, you cannot take anything in the preseason that seriously. You just can't.
Yeah. Now, the other concern I have, I know that he's been getting ripped on Patriot Radio. But I think Brandon Merriweather is a hell of a good safety. He's the fastest safety they had. Patrick Chung is definitely the best one they got right now. But this scares me because, I mean, week two against San Diego, nobody airs the ball out more than Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I mean, if we don't have that safety position playing well, I mean, nobody knows football like Bill Belichick, but I'm a little concerned about the safety issue.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, again, if Josh Barrett can stay healthy, he's a bit of a question mark. Hopefully and that's the guy who's going to replace, Merriweather out there. And I don't get caught up by like Bill does in a free safety, strong safety type thing because, that's not really what they do. But Merriweather, he was a frustrating player to watch. I compare him a lot kind of like to J.D. Drew a little bit for the Red Sox because he showed flashes of, at times, that he was great. But he took bad routes to the ball. He a lot of times he was just way too inconsistent.
Yeah,
way too inconsistent. I understand it. And now what I tell you what, when they cut Sanders, I did not expect them to cut Merriweather. I thought it was going to be just the opposite.
Yeah.
So and both of them have moved on. Sanders immediately was picked up by Atlanta. Merriweather is gone to Chicago. So we'll see. I just think in this system that Merriweather was just it was too frustrating to watch at times. He was very good at times in games. He would go through stretches of two or three games where he'd go, man, he's figured it out. He's got it. And then would revert right back into his old bad habits. So, will it be better with Josh Barrett? I don't know.
But it
could be worse. You're right. I mean, you're right when you say it could be worse, and you're right. To me, that's one of the biggest question marks is how Josh Barrett and Sergio Brown are going to take over there. James Hittebo as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Definitely excited. Can't wait. I'm going to be catching the game tonight. Be watching Baltimore Pittsburgh at 1:00, and then being a big Cowboy fan just for that week against the Jets. But I think Fat Mouth Rex Ryan's going to get that done, and we're going to be going head to toe with the Jets all year. But we'll come out on top.
I agree. I think they will have. And thanks for the call, Carl. I really appreciate it. Check in next week again. I'll be on next week, only Wednesday and Thursday next week because of the Monday Night Football game. So my show will not be next Tuesday. It'll just be Wednesday and Thursday when there's Monday Night Football. But that's okay. We're going to have fun anyway. 508-298-0398. That's the number. Matt says, hey, Prickly Pete, welcome back to your new expanded capacity. I just showed up because I refused to expose myself to an excruciating hour of robotic below staleness. Oh, come on. I mean, hey, look, fantasy football is not for everybody, but it's some interesting stuff. And I'll tell you what, you talk about an encyclopedia, and when I tell you he had nothing in front of him except for the matchup of the games, he's unbelievable. Now that I tuned in, the first thing I heard you do was express your disappointment in a fan for bailing on the Pats after the first quarter of the Jets game. Hey, Pete, what's worse, a fair weather fan bailing on watching TV, Pats with TV, or a web radio host bailing on his entire fan base the Tuesday after the game? Well, I explained the situation there, unfortunately. You killed me with that move. It's classic swashbuckling, Pete. I had a mental picture of you in your apartment hungover, standing around unshaven, wearing a bathrobe with beer cans all over the floor. I don't drink beer anymore. Vodka and soda. And if that wasn't hardcore Boston radio host legend enough, a week or two later, you posted this classic manifesto online threatening to expose your former employers, which sent the entire Boston sports community into a buzzing frenzy of activity. I love the move. Pete, that's how to make a name for yourself. We're both 44. I love your style. We're cut from the same cloth, and you're a man after my own heart. Great to have you back. Now, Kevin, give him an interstate by proxy special for me. Should I know what that is?
That must be Brooklyn Matt. Because Brooklyn
Matt. It is Brooklyn Matt.
So what he told me to do the other day, Pete, he hates Andy.
I know that.
Hart,
I remember that, yes.
So he called me up on the Ace Ticket hotline, and he said, do me a favor and pound on the glass and just flip Andy off. So I did it, and he goes, after you do it, tell him that I just invented the first, like, interstate by proxy flip-off or whatever. I don't know what it was. That was his thing. So, I'm not going to flip you off, Pete.
Thank you. Gina in Daytona says, hey, Pete and Kevin, there are about four tropical systems circling around Florida right now, and there is a good chance the game will be wet and windy. Do you think if the game is sloppy, who will affect more, Pat's timing, pattern offense, or the short screen passes by Chad Henne to Reggie Bush? If Johnson starts, do you expect much from him? He has done nothing in the preseason. On the other hand, Reggie Bush looks like the kid that came out of USC. He will be a force in this game. Stop him, and you got to win. Well, I mean, I'm sure Reggie Bush is going to be highly motivated. I don't know. I mean, a force? I mean, I suppose possibly. Now, I heard it was supposed to be decent weather. I mean, muggy and warm, but I didn't hear anything about,
I haven't heard anything about rain yet either.
I mean, all the freaking rain is here. I mean, for Christ's sake, it's happened three days in a row.
It was 100 degrees down there the last couple
of days. Oh, yeah, it's going to be brutal. It will be brutal. It'll be brutal down there on Monday night. I have no doubt about that. But as far as the rest of it goes, I'm Larry Johnson. I don't know if Larry Johnson even addressed. I know they signed him today, but I'm not sure he's even going to address. So we'll see about that. Again, email me at webradio@patriots.com. And you can Facebook me, still Pete Shepard. I should take a break because I have to get myself ready. Because get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. What I'm about to do, first I'm going to go through, when we come back from the quick break, I'll go through who I think is going to win the division, all the divisions. No, this will only take a couple seconds to go through all that. And then I'll go through all of the games and give you my picks. And like I said, if I don't go 62% against the spread, next week is absolutely free. It's never been done before. And I'm going to, except by me last year, several times. So get ready. Grab your family. Get around your computer. Hold hands. Have a seance. Sing kumbaya, whatever it takes. And get ready for Pete the Meat Shepherd's picks. And I will have one little glitch I'm going to do this year as well. One little side note, I should say. I'm going to have one Pete the Meat Miraculous Monster pick, which is at the end of all my picks, I will pick one game where it's like a super-duper lock, okay? One that I really, really love, and I have it all. And we'll get to that, all of that stuff, and also hopefully have time for more of your emails and maybe a phone call or two as well coming up on the Pete Shepherd Show. We'll break and come back right after this on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Senior Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts. Grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all 5 delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Oh, yeah, going back old school. I remember this from last year. Oh, yeah, the old CBS NFL Today show back in the day. And, man, first time all year. Point spread winners. I guarantee 62% of next week is free. But before we do all that, quickly, going to go through who I think is going to win the divisions, the wild cards, and eventually the Super Bowl. So, first, we're beginning the AFC East. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Of course it is. It's your New England Patriots. They win another division title. It's like 18 in a row, whatever it is. AFC North, I'm going with the Ravens. Tough one. I know everybody's flip-flopping Baltimore and Pittsburgh. This is real tough. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens get it done. In the AFC South, what a crappy division this is going to be. I'll take Houston. No Peyton Manning, possibly 2 to 3 months. Cervical surgery. Kevin's fantasy team is to crap. Screwed. Division screwed. Houston happy. They used to beat Indy anyway. They'd give them a tough time anyway. This has got to be the year for Houston to win that division. If they don't win it this year, then, you know, they should just drop out because they got to get it done. Wild card teams, I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I must say, being the fair and impartial man that I am, we'll go with the hated New York Jets as the wild card. Now, I'm not going to get into who's going to beat who in the playoff because, you know, I mean, it's too crazy to say. I will say your AFC champion will be the Patriots. Somehow, some way, yes. I don't care who it is. They are going back to the Super Bowl this year. NFC East. I'm going with the Eagles, and they are far from my dream team, not even close. They are overhyped and this, that, and the other, but I still think they are the best team in the NFC East. NFC North. I like the Green Bay Packers once again because it is
professional
just...
football in America is a special game, a unique game.
Yes, it is. Oh, I get chills.
It is a rare game.
I get chills.
The man who play it.
Yes, they do.
So.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna leave this going, Pete.
That's fine. So I had Green Bay winning the North because I have no faith in the Bears. I still don't know how the Bears made it to the NFC Championship game last year. I don't get that. And I'm not sold on the Minnesota Vikings at all. I think they're going mediocre at best, despite Adrian Peterson. So NFC East, they have Philly. NFC North, they have Green Bay. NFC South, New Orleans. Love the Saints. NFC West, I will go with St. Louis. My wild card teams are Atlanta. And I'm going to say it. I'm not just jumping on the trendy bandwagon here. I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions. How about that? I'm taking the Lions as a wild card team. I said it. Sorry, Cowboy fans. No. They're going to be pissed.
How about them Cowboys?
No. Well, I'll be rooting for you on Sunday night. And my eventual NFC champion will be the New Orleans Saints. And this is really scary. I thought I was coming up with something, you know. I mean, I know everyone's picking. But everybody seems to be. Everybody on ESPN that I've heard this last couple of days is picking the Patriots over New Orleans or Green Bay. Or a couple, one or two have Green Bay over the Patriots. One guy has New Orleans over the Patriots. But the majority are picking the Patriots over New Orleans. I thought I was coming up with something a little bit special here. I guess not. But I'm picking the Patriots over New Orleans in the Super Bowl. So there you have it right there. Now, we'll, again, it's a long way from go. This is all subjective, but it's just all in good fun. And now the moment you've all been waiting for. Gather the children, get the animals, get around your computer, and get ready because here come my NFL point spread week one winners for you. And we are going to save tonight's game for the end. It'll be the second to last one before the Patriots, okay? So I'm going to start. Great game this week in Baltimore. The Ravens hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore right now on Thursday. 1.5-point favorite. These games are always nip and tuck. Home field advantage doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. But I'm going to take Baltimore in this one. 1.5. I think they squeak it out. A field goal game. I like the Baltimore Ravens to cover against Pittsburgh. Upset special right off the bat. And again, I will do my beat the meat miraculous monster pick coming up at the end of the segment. Where I pick just the one super duper lock I think is going to happen. But the Detroit Lions go into Tampa Bay as a 1.5-point underdog. I'm going to take the Lions. I don't know how Tampa Bay made the playoffs last year. Not sure how they did it. But they ain't going to make it this year. I don't like them at all. And the Lions are up and coming. Like what I saw. Playing hard. I'm taking the Lions plus 1.5. On the road, a road dog. Wow. When's the last time the Lions were favorite that someone would pick the Lions to win opening day? Next up, the Atlanta Falcons are at Chicago. I hate the Bears. Hate everything they're about. I hate Cutler. You know, I think he sucks. I can't stand him. Stand the Bears. Awful. 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 Can't stand them. I love Atlanta in that game. They are 3-point favorites in Chicago. Matt Ryan and company get it done. in a big way, in my opinion. I love the Falcons. Kansas City is home. This is the crap game of the week, one of them. There's a couple. This is really cruddy game. Kansas City is home against Buffalo. God almighty. Now, I think Kansas City might take a step back this year, but Buffalo sucks. I mean, there's just no getting around it. I know it's opening day, and anything's possible. Kansas City's minus six. I got to take the Chiefs at home. Got to like the Chiefs at home in that one. Buffalo is just cruddy. Houston is home against Indianapolis. Now, right now, this line is 8.5. You know, I think it's going to go up, so jump on it soon if you're into that kind of thing. I like Houston. Kerry Collins might be in some trouble today. I mean, this game, used to be close. Now Houston is favored by 8.5. No Peyton Manning. Gotta love the Texans in this one. One of my other upset specials coming up. And again, this is against the spread. Not necessarily picking winners to win the game outright, just against the spread. But Philadelphia is at St. Louis. The Eagles, some people's dream team. I'm not ready to come close to calling them that. I think they're a very good team. They're solid. I have them as my division winner in the NFC East. They go into St. Louis as a 4.5-point favorite. I like the Rams in this one. I like the Rams to cover at home. They could even win this one outright. This is going to be a really entertaining game, I think. Could see some points in that one as well. Crap game number two. This, I think, will replace crap game number one, which was Kansas City hosting Buffalo. This is crap game number two, which is Cleveland hosting Cincinnati. The Browns are 6.5-point favorites. No way should they be 6.5-point favorites above anybody. I think they win the game. But as bad as Cincinnati is, I still think they find a way to cover against this team. Cleveland, 6.5. I'll take the Bungles plus the 6.5 there. Jacksonville is a 2-point favorite at home against Tennessee. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Luke McGowan, a quarterback for the Jaguars. Oh, my goodness. Chris Johnson. I'm taking Tennessee plus the 2 in this one. I think Jacksonville. I feel bad for Del Rio. I mean, he's screwed. Luke McGowan, a quarterback for a while anyway. I'll take Tennessee plus the 2. NFC East matchup. Giants are at Washington, and the Giants are a 3-point favorite.
G-Men!
They are the G-Men. I'm taking Washington, even though I think they suck. But I'm going to take them at home anyway on opening game. I just think there's something about the Giants that just doesn't, I don't know. And they've had a tendency to start off slow, too, last couple of seasons. I'm going to go with Washington in this one as a home dog here, plus 3. I'll take it there in a big NFC East rivalry game. Cam Newton makes his debut at Arizona. Cardinals favored by 7. And I say, I am with Cam. At least to cover. I'll take Carolina plus the 7. It could be disastrous, but Arizona, we'll see. It looks on paper like this could be a destruction. But you know what? Call me crazy. I'm taking Carolina with the points in this one, plus 7. Next up, San Francisco is a 5.5-point favorite at home against Seattle. I don't know. This is like Cleveland being favored by 6.5. San Fran favored by 5.5. I'll take the Seahawks plus the 5.5 in this one. San Diego is home. They are an 8.5-point favorite against Minnesota. I love the Chargers in this game. Take San Diego. Lay the 8.5. Big number opening day, but I'll lay it anyway. Coming up on Sunday night, the Jets are now a 5-point favorite. Because all you idiots out there in Vegas around the country. No! No! Oh, God, it's like kryptonite. The Jets are 5-point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, even if I didn't hate the Jets with a passion, even if, and I have respect for the Jets, I hate them, but I have a lot of respect for them. But I think this game, to me, looks very similar, point spread-wise, like last year's opening game against Baltimore, when I told you last year opening game that Baltimore would beat them outright, and they did, in kind of an ugly defensive scoring game. But we as Patriot fans will sit here and we will all become Dallas Cowboy fans. And I'm not just saying this because it's the Jets and who they're playing. I just think it's going to be an ugly type of a low-scoring game. I'm taking Dallas with the points. I'll take the Cowboys plus 5. I like it a lot. More on that later. Monday Night Football. Denver is a, this is the second game on Monday night. Denver is a 3-point favorite against Oakland. And I love the Broncos. I'll take the Broncos in this one. That's right. Monday night football. Denver against the Raiders. But I'm taking Denver in this one, -3. Oakland is just, who the hell knows? Al Davis is still alive. You know, the, I don't know. It's just Oakland to me. I don't get it. They just, they show flashes at some points looking like a good football team. But opening night in a hostile environment in Denver, I'm going to take the Broncos. The Patriots are 7-point favorites in Miami. And this one, like I said, going to be nip and tuck a little bit. I think the Patriots, too much talent in the end. The tight ends will be the key to this game. Hernandez and Gronkowski will run amok on the Dolphins. They won't be able to stop them. They will not. I'm not saying it's going to be a 30-point win. I am going to pick the Patriots to cover in this one. But the Patriots win 34-24 in a game that will be much closer than the final score indicates, I think. But I still think the Patriots pull away in the end. They win by 10. 34-24. And now tonight's game. Green Bay, New Orleans. I love this game. As I've said earlier, I've tried to tell people who are Packer fans. I get texts from hundreds of you, at least tens of thousands sometimes, and a couple in particular who won't stop. And I understand your passion. I love it. But 5 of the last 12 defending Super Bowl champions have not even made the playoffs. Do you hear me, Packerland? Do you hear me? And that's why tonight I'm picking the New Orleans Saints. That's right. I said it. I'm picking the Saints to upset the Packers 30-27. Should be a very high scoring, entertaining game. So Green Bay favored by 4.5. I'm taking New Orleans with the points plus 4.5. I think it flies over the total. I love New Orleans tonight. I think they're going to win the game outright. How about that? Call me crazy. You'll have to wait till next Wednesday to call me that, unless you want to call me on Facebook. But that's going to do it. Wait a second. And I Pete the Meat, miraculous monster pick of the week is I really love Dallas plus the 5 against the Jets. I just think that game is going to be very similar to last year, to the Jets Baltimore game. It's going to be nip and tuck. And I think the Cowboys are going to hang in there and give the Jets all they can handle. 5 points is a lot in a game like this, which should be a pretty good defensive battle. So, that being said, the score would be like 35-34, watch. But I'll take Dallas for my Pete the Meat miraculous monster pick tonight. I like New Orleans 30-27. What can I tell you? It's going to be a brilliant game. Certainly go the other way. I have no doubt about it. I'm just saying overall, I like New Orleans tonight 30-27. And have the Patriots in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. That's going to do it. First week here on Patriots.com. Thanks to everybody. We broadcast live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Thanks to Kevin for producing this whole thing. I will talk to you guys again next Wednesday afternoon at 2, because Monday Night Football is next week. And the radio guys have the studios on Tuesday, so we'll be here on Wednesday and Thursday. Talk to you then. Enjoy your football tonight, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center.
Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.